This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Saturday. He's armed with a week's worth of talking points and got up early for your listening pleasure. So kick back and enjoy all the immensity, the potency, and the intensity that is the Robin Lundberg Show. Here's the man so charismatic, we named the show after him, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. It is the divisional round in the NFL playoffs. Some great matchups today. I will give you my picks for them coming up in just a second as I try and... Yeah, I'm still waffling on some of these. It's been a, you look at these games. These are tough games to pick, I think. There's not an easy one on the board other than the Chiefs to win outright, but I bet you a lot of money came in on the Browns on the spread. I think it's a 10-point spread now. By far the biggest one of the weekend. And a lot of times, I think when people just saw a team, they're more likely to pick with them rather than, you know, Kansas City, who's been off for a few weeks. And the Browns looked good, obviously, last week in defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. I guess I should just do it now. Here, I'll make some NFL picks for the divisional round playoffs.
He's crunched the numbers, used careful analysis, and is now ready to lay down the dough. Here's Robin Lundberg with his gridiron picks of the week.
All right, up first, I'll take the Rams plus 6.5 over the Green Bay Packers. You know, the Packers have had a great season thus far, but as I've mentioned so far on the show, I haven't seen a defense give opposing quarterbacks more problems than the Rams all season. They've got a pass rusher, all-around defensive disruptor in Aaron Donald, unlike anybody else that the Packers are going to face because he's like unlike anybody else in the league. They've got Jalen Ramsey in the secondary, who is uniquely equipped to take away, or at least not take away, but to lessen the impact of the Packers' best offensive player in Davante Adams, who has had just a remarkable season. I don't know if the Rams score enough, quite enough to win the game. You know, Jared Goff is going to have to play well. They're going to have to really run the ball well against the Packers. But I do think they'll give that Packers offense more trouble than we're used to seeing. And I hearken back to a couple games from Green Bay this year, and maybe I'm overemphasizing a few of these games, but I just remember watching them. One was their loss to Tampa where they only put up 10 points, and the other was they had a game against Carolina. They won that game 24-16, but Aaron Rodgers only threw for 143 yards in that game. It just showed me, you know, there were two games where one of 160, one 143 yards, despite as good a season as he had, there have been performances where, you know, he's been held in check. And with that in regard, you know, to this game, you look at the Rams defense, I think they'll be able to hold him in check. I mean, Russell Wilson is no scrub, and they made him look like one just a week ago. So I will take the Rams plus 6.5. I'll take the Ravens plus 2.5. I honestly have no idea who's going to win this game. I just think, you know, Baltimore's too good a team to be getting almost any points against anybody but Kansas City. I'm not sure they win it. You know, Buffalo might be my pick to win the game, and then I look like an idiot right now because what's the difference? 2.5. How do you even win a game by, you know, fewer than 2.5 points? I do suppose it happens. That's why the spread is out there, and it's not just a money line bet. But Baltimore, since they were stumbling, has really turned things around, and they've played like one of the best teams in the league at the same time as Buffalo has. I mean, since their loss to the Steelers, they've won every game they've played. Obviously, they won since their loss to the Steelers, they've won five of the six games that they've played, including, you know, a big time win over the Cleveland Browns a beating of Jacksonville, a beating of the Giants, a beating of Cincinnati, a beating of Dallas. You know, they've been dominant since that loss to the Steelers, other than just a 5-point win against Cleveland. They won that. I'm sorry, I'm reading their schedule backwards. I'm an idiot. That's what I said. I was correcting myself before. Since the struggles early in the season, the loss against Pittsburgh, they beat Philadelphia, they beat Cincinnati, they beat Washington. No. This is, I'm embarrassing myself now, Anthony. I'm like dyslexic all of a sudden. I had it right the first time. when I was in the schedule, I looked it backwards. So ignore the last sentence I just said and keep what I said at the beginning. Regardless, Baltimore has played well is the point I was trying to make, and they have won their playoff game so far in this playoffs over Tennessee 20-13, which I think is a big lift for them. Lamar Jackson kind of needed that one from a spiritual standpoint, so he didn't have that label following him. And, you know, Baltimore has been that team that we thought they would be before the season, down the stretch of the season. Buffalo is as good as anybody other than, you know, Kansas City. So this is really a toss-up game. It's why I've spent more time on it than any other game on the show thus far. But I will take the Ravens plus the 2.5 points. I'll take the Chiefs minus 10 over the Browns. I've been burned by the Chiefs late in this year, but I do kind of expect them to hit the Nas button, you know, and hit the accelerator and go away and run in this game. Cleveland, despite, you know, how well they've played and their record, still had a negative point differential on the season, which is surprising. Given, you know, their performance, given their surprising playoff win, I don't know if their playoff win was that surprising, you know, in general, but just to see the Cleveland Browns win is surprising in the playoffs. I will take Kansas City in that one, and I'll take the Saints minus 3 over the Buccaneers. We've talked about it a little bit, but people say you can't beat a good team 3 times. Well, that's happened before. In that third matchup, the team that won the first two games tends to win more often than the team that lost the first two games because maybe they're just better. I'll give Tom Brady the advantage just head-to-head against Drew Brees, but I think the rest of that Saints team is going to come into play, including the defense, and they've gotten the best of Brady and the Buccaneers thus far. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter, if you want to weigh in, you can also call me on the phone, of course, to give your thoughts, your picks for this weekend's NFL games. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. You know, it's the best weekend of the NFL season, I think, in general, when you look at it. This is the most games with the most good teams. You've already weaned out some of the fat, you know, some of the teams that didn't belong. Obviously, no disrespect to Washington and their season, but the Washington football team was not a playoff kind of team. You know, that's not the kind of team that anybody thought had any chance to make it to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl, anything of that ilk. And they are gone. You know, Indianapolis had a nice season, but they're not really a needle-moving team either. I mean, they wouldn't have ruled them out this week. But just the excitement level, I think, on the matchups when you have Josh Allen against Lamar Jackson, when you have Drew Brees against Tom Brady, when the Chiefs are back in action, when the Packers are back in action, it just creates a level of excitement. I think that may be different than every other weekend in the NFL season. I do think it's probably the Family Feud answer for the best weekend of the NFL season. You agree with that, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely. I think absolutely. As you pointed out, you know, you got rid of some of the fat. These are the four premier teams in each conference remaining now. So I absolutely agree.
You know, and you're going to see some premier quarterback showdowns, premier team showdowns, premier interesting matchups beyond the quarterback position, like, you know, how the Rams defense is going to fare against Aaron Rodgers and like how Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams will go up against one another. It's just the kind of weekend that I think football fans wait for all season. So what matchup are you most looking forward to this weekend? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I'll talk to Gary Myers, of course, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, coming up in just a few minutes about this weekend in the NFL playoffs. But first, I do want to hear from you, and let's go next to Jeff in South Carolina. Jeff, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just want to just let you know a few things about the Rams. You know, a lot of times they don't mention these injuries and whatever we know about Jared Goff and all like that. But, you know, the Rams should have been the number one seed in the NFL. You know, Jared Goff did what he did. But I don't think we get enough love. But today I think we're going to prove to them that we're going to beat them. And it's like every time the Rams play on TV, they don't mention the injuries. You know, you can go back last year when the Rams lost four out of their five offensive linemen. But anyway, so I see the game playing out is pretty tough, but I'm pretty sure we can beat them because of the, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he is who he is. But, you know, we done faced the greatest scramblers, Tyler Murray, yada, yada. But, you know, I just wish some people give the Rams a little bit of love. And I know Jared Goff has his issues and he's ticked me off, you know, several times. But, you know, if he hadn't done what he did, the Rams would have been probably 14-1, you know, 14-2,
well,
15-1.
I mean, haven't I been giving the Rams respect? I've been talking about how I haven't seen a team give opposing quarterbacks more of a problem than the Rams all year, and I'm picking them at least with the spread against the Packers, and you know, I do have a small money line wager on the Rams this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just like it's a lot of times, you know, Troy Aikman, he won't make the comments that, you know, I know he grew up a Ram fan, but anyway, we don't need to go through the whole story, but I'm just saying that I think we're the dark horse in the NFL. We win this game, we're also going to get three players back, and a lot of people don't know that. And the Rams also lost their two starting linebackers before the season started. And anyway, that's pretty well it. I'm not going to hold you up because, you know, I've been a Ram fan my whole life. My dad likes the Packers. Unfortunately, my dad passed away, so a little love on both sides. But I'm just hoping we can pull this one out, you know.
Well, RIP to your dad. Thanks for the call. Troy Aikman called Aaron Donald the best defensive player he's ever seen, so I don't know if he's not showing the Rams any love. John Hall tweets in, Brown spread makes no sense. Chiefs' last six or seven games have all been less than seven. Well, I think a lot of people believe that, you know, the Chiefs were in a little bit of a coast mode, and you know, the Browns are stepping up in weight class against the Chiefs versus against the Steelers, and we've seen Kansas City in those prime matchups when they're locked in really distance themselves. So I agree if we're going on what we just most recently have seen, but if we're going on the entire body of work and what we know from these teams, that's why I took Kansas City, even giving up the 10 points. I mean, the Chiefs have had some showdown games this year, early in the season against Baltimore, and they looked superior. Later in the season against Tampa, and they looked superior. I mean, that's just the kind of team that I think we all expect to be at their best now, unless they're just not the team that we think they are. They also beat New Orleans. They didn't blow them away, but they beat New Orleans. So, I mean, they lost one game all season, and they beat Buffalo. They beat Baltimore. They beat New Orleans. They beat Tampa. No disrespect to Cleveland, but it's not as if this is the toughest team that they've faced all season. I think when you see a team most recently, it can, you know, lead you to overselling them a little bit when you haven't seen another team for a few weeks. Johnny Johnson tweets in, the Ravens and Buffalo Bills game seems to be the hardest to prognosticate. Toss-up, that's what I was saying before. The Browns seem to have the hardest opportunity for victory against the Chiefs, and the Rams and Packers game seems to be a low-scoring affair. Well, if that's a low-scoring affair, that is good news for the Rams.
You know, Robbie, again, you were talking about the divisional round, again, being the best weekend. Again, obviously, the conference championship games, there's more at stake, clearly. And, you know, an argument can be made that the games that determine the Super Bowl teams make for the best, you know, sports day of the year. But obviously, you know, with the divisional playoffs here, you have Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, you have the two games on each day. So, you know, it's the
last. You get that combination of quantity and quality.
It's the last week of wall-to-wall football, you know. So that's what makes it, you know, special, too.
Quantity and quality. Like, you know, last weekend's almost too much in a sense because you didn't have that many good games in Wild Card weekend. You had a couple. This weekend, you know, I bet you three of the four games are good, right? Something like that. And you do have four games. So, yeah, that's why it is, I would say, the Family Feud answer for the best football weekend of the year. And you still have a chance to weigh in on said weekend in the NFL here on this show. 855-212-4227. Buffalo and Baltimore, who you got? That's the toughest one to pick. 855-212-4227. But we'll get a little deeper into the Tom Brady-Drew Brees matchup as well. The first ever playoff meeting between those two quarterbacks. That's coming up here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin Lundberg is on the air. You're welcome. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We've gotten to a lot of the matchups over the weekend in the NFL, but there is one that has had some hype around it, including History Channel memes. To discuss that and more, I'm joined now by Gary Myers, podcast host of The GOAT, Tom Brady, an author and, of course, a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. And Gary, there was one stat, you know, you're doing a podcast about Brady being the GOAT, and I think, you know, obviously he is the consensus answer there. But there was one thing I looked up this week that really blew my mind heading into this Drew Brees matchup, and that's that Tom Brady only has one fewer win against NFC opponents in the playoffs than Drew Brees.
Wow. That's right? Pretty good. So Tom's got seven now, right?
Yeah. And Brees has, he's got the six against the obviously in the Super Bowl, and then he's got the one from last week.
Right.
And Drew Brees, He has the one more than Tom Brady based on his playoff record, having played the majority of his career in the NFC and also being an all-time great quarterback.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. That's pretty good. Nice research there. This is a matchup that has a lot of history to it also. You know, Brees, I think Brees is the only one to have a winning record against Tom, having played four more times. I think I heard that one the other day because he's 5-2. But this matchup goes all the way back to 1999 when Tom was at Michigan and Drew was at Purdue. And I think Purdue had like a 10-game winning streak going into that game, and Michigan beat him pretty easily at the Big House. So there's a lot of history here. And it's, let's face it, this is probably the last time they ever go against each other because all indications are that Drew's going to retire after the season, you know, regardless of what happens tomorrow night or the next few weeks.
Obviously, you know, team game, and the Saints have been the better team than the Buccaneers thus far this season in their two meetings. But, you know, when you do have so many people proclaiming Brady to be the greatest all time, rightfully so. We know how egos work in sports. You know, Drew Brees is right there from a statistical achievement standpoint. Do you think that there's any motivation for him in that regard, or is this simply about eyes on the prize?
No, I think, you know, great quarterbacks always get motivated when there's not a great one or a historically great one on the other side of the field. And these two guys are 1-2 in touchdowns and yards in NFL history. So there's a lot of there's a lot of accomplishments or a lot of great numbers between the two of them. But I think, you know, the key stat in this, Robin, is what's happened in the postseason. And I don't think, as great as Brees has been in the regular season and as great as Peyton Manning was in the regular season, the one that jumps off the page at you when you're talking about who's the greatest of all time is 6 Super Bowl championships, 9 Super Bowl appearances for Brady, and only 1 Super Bowl appearance for Brees. I think Drew would certainly, his legacy would be even further enhanced if he can get that second victory. There's so many quarterbacks that have won only one. And I actually think that he and Sean Payton, as great as they've been together, have underachieved over the years by only winning in the one championship.
Robin Lundberg talking to Gary Myers, podcast host of The GOAT, Tom Brady, author, Pro Football Hall of Famer here on CBS Sports Radio. And when you get into Brady's GOATness further, you know, Gary, I would argue that this season's already been a success for him. I mean, if you were going to play the other side, generally the chief criticism was that he did it all with Belichick. He did it all in New England. Mm-hmm. How would he look on another team? And when he went to Tampa, I first thought, well, if he fails, it's not necessarily going to be because, you know, he was the system quarterback, or, you know, he was a Belichick product or any of that stuff. It, you know, he's old. But to do what he's done at 43 years old on a different team, obviously he wants to continue to win and win the Super Bowl this year. But would you dub this season a success for Brady's, you know, adding to his GOAT legacy regardless of what happens this weekend?
That's a really good question. I think if you apply it by Bucs standards, you know, a team that had not been in the playoffs since 07, hasn't won a playoff game since they beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl following the 02 season. So if you use that as the standard, then this has been a season of tremendous success for the Bucs. But if you use it by the Brady standards, then anything short, I'll draw the line at anything short of getting to the Super Bowl, I think in his mind will not be a success. It's all set up for him there with, you know, a lot of quality talent around him at the skill positions that he did not have the last few years in New England. He's 43 years old, so this wasn't, you can't call it a transition year because it's a small window that the Bucs have to win with him. Maybe one more year after this, and then depending on how he's feeling. But I don't think he went there just to get him into the divisional round. I think he went there to win a Super Bowl. And you can say that about any player. That's their ultimate goal. But I think with Brady, that the reason he's still playing is to win championships. It's not to add to his numbers or his legacy, because I think that's fairly well established at this point. I think he's only playing right now to win championships. And a byproduct of that is to prove that he can win one without Belichick. I don't think there's any question about that. But his number one motivation is he wants to win. And so if they lose tomorrow night, I just don't see Tom saying, hey, we had a great season, it'll get better next year. I think he'll be incredibly disappointed.
Now, there's a different kind of quarterback matchup tonight. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. What's your read on Buffalo and Baltimore? Because that's been the hardest game for me to try and prognosticate, if you will.
Yeah, I think you'd have to look at it that Baltimore is just, you know, one of these teams that has so much experience this time of the year. And it's just like a really tough-minded team. They're on a pretty good roll right now. I think Lamar getting over the hurdle of not winning a playoff game and doing that last week, I think really helps his confidence. He didn't have to listen to those questions this week. I think this could be a really good game. I think the Ravens will win because they just run it so well, and they can keep Josh Allen off the field. And I don't think that the Bills played all that well last week. Frank Reich made some questionable coaching decisions that might have ultimately cost them the game. I think Baltimore is going to go in there tonight and win. And listen, you say, wow, you know, Baltimore winning on the road in Buffalo. It's not the same this year. The home field advantage is relatively meaningless. They'll have 7,000 fans in Buffalo tonight, where they would have had 70,000 under normal circumstances. So going in and winning these road games now, I think Lamar Jackson is much more concerned if it snows tonight than actually being on the road. You know, it's just not intimidating. To go into Kansas City tomorrow for the Browns, it's not like it would be going into Kansas City last year or, you know, hopefully next year if we're back to letting the fans in the stands. Now, I don't think that the Browns will beat the Chiefs, but I would give them zero chance if there were 75,000 people there, because that place is really a tough place to play, you know, again, under normal circumstances.
You just gave me your thoughts on the Browns and the Chiefs. What about the Packers and the Rams? That one's interesting to me because obviously the Packers had a bye. They were a very good team this year. Aaron Rodgers had one of the best years of his career, if not even the best. And he has Devontae Adams to throw to. Yet the quarterback matchup in that one is not intriguing. But the defense to offense matchup to me is, because I haven't seen a team frustrate opposing quarterbacks more than the Rams. Do you think they can do that to Rodgers?
You know, Robin, for some reason, I just can't get out of my head that the Rams lost to the Jets. And so I've had a difficult time taking them really seriously. And I don't trust Jared Goff going out, you know, a California guy going out in the middle of the winter to Green Bay, a night game. I think the Rams are going to have a very hard time scoring tonight. And this to me is the least intriguing of the four games. And I don't think it's going to be a close game. Aaron Rodgers, he's a hard guy to read, to know how motivated he has been this season based on the fact that the Packers took a quarterback in the first round, Jordan Love, when he really wanted to get more weapons for his offense. I think he's basically, you know, shoved it back in the face of the Packers management there a little bit this year by having one of his best seasons. And, again, you know, Goff has got just a few weeks removed now from having thumb surgery. And I don't know how effective he'll be tonight against the Packers, even though you can exploit the Packers' defense and the Rams' defense is playing really well. I don't think this could be a close game.
So you give the Browns a better chance against the Chiefs than you do the Rams against the Packers?
Yeah, I do, because I don't think the Browns will win either, but I think the Browns have some magic going for them, and that's always a fun thing to see how long you can sustain that. I mean, was their level this year just winning that game last week in Pittsburgh, you know, a traditional opponent that lost 17 straight games in that stadium, and just winning that game last week, was that enough for this Browns team, that if they fall behind early, will they just say, well, you know, we had a great season and we're going against the Super Bowl champs and they'll just get blown out? Or are they going to have enough, you know, inside of them to really fight? And I think that the Chiefs will have a tougher time with the Browns than the Packers will with the Rams. But I think this is going to be the second least competitive game of the weekend. I'm hoping it's not. It would be fun to see the Browns really hang in there into the fourth quarter to see what Baker Mayfield can do in that kind of a situation. But I think the arrow is pointing up on the Browns, but I think this is where they get off the train.
You can check out his podcast, The GOAT, Tom Brady, of course, an author and a Pro Hall of Fame voter. Gary Myers, appreciate your time and joining me. Have a good weekend, man.
Thanks a lot, Robin. I always appreciate being on with you. Take care.
Miss any of the show? catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
Word. All right, I'm going to get to every topic. I haven't as of yet, but first I'm going to get to you. Let's go to Jerry in Charlotte. Jerry, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, thanks for taking my call. I'm pulling for the Rams this afternoon, but I want to know if something were to happen to Goff, if he re-injures the thumb or is ineffective, what's the status of Walford?
I'm assuming he is out. I thought I saw that he was out. He had to go to the hospital last week with a, you know, I know it was precautionary, but yeah, he's been ruled out of the game. So the status is somebody else will be playing quarterback.
So who would be his backup if he's gets re-injured or whatever? You know,
I'll look that up. I do not know off the top of my head who the next quarterback in line is. I'm not generally fully aware of the third string quarterbacks or if it's an even emergency quarterback situation. I don't know how many they rostered, but I'll look it up. Let's see if I can look it up really quickly right now for you. Blake Bortles is still on their team. Wow. He's a third string. Really? He's there now? Interesting. All right, there you have it. There's the answer to your question. Let's go to Cleveland in Mobile, Alabama. Cleveland, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Cleveland?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to tell you thank you for receiving my call, man. I appreciate that. But the reason why I want to talk to you is as it relates to the Rams and the Packers. And I'm a little bit disappointed as I've been listening to you all, because not one time you all mentioned Sean McVay. So I'm looking at it going to be the Packers against Sean McVay, because Sean McVay is a magnificent coach, and Sean McVay know the odds is stacked against him to beat the Packers. So it's going to be a pretty good game. And also, too, I'm going for the Rams to upset Green Bay in the frozen tundra.
I gathered by all the times you said Sean McVay, but you're right. I mean, when you're leading into a game like that, he is a coach who was just considered a genius a couple of years ago, right? So that is part of the equation. And remember, Sean McVay did coach the Rams to the Super Bowl in the past with Jared Goff at quarterback. So I certainly would not rule that out. I am on slight upset alert for that game as well. If you were going to tell me, you know, what's the most likely big upset this weekend, I think it is that one, not the Browns over the Chiefs. Let's go to Alan in Chicago. Alan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how you doing? I think Baltimore and Buffalo have the same objective, right? Okay, so let's keep Josh Allen off the field. Let's keep Lamar Jackson off the field, and let's burn up the clock. And as much as I would love to see Buffalo win, I'm from that part of the country. I just don't see Devin Singletary and T.J. Yeldon getting it done. Not that bad talk about it. I think that the run game of Baltimore is a lot better, but we'll have to see what happens. Go Bills.
All right, you like the Bills. Something's going on there. It sounds like you're putting together a tent in the wilderness or something as you were calling in to the show. Anybody else wants to weigh in before I'm done and I hand it off to Ken Carmen? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. But right now, it's time for another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, so Nick Saban won his seventh national championship on Monday as Alabama beat Ohio State, and I think most would agree he is the greatest coach in college football history. Do you think he is the greatest coach ever in any sport?
That's tough to say. I'll gonna go with no, because one, he did not do as well at the NFL level, right? So if you were the greatest coach ever in any sport, I would have suspected that would have gone through and shown at the NFL level as well. Two, at the college level, you know, you're recruiting. And that is a huge part of his success. Now, that's part of being a college coach, but it's not part of being a coach in the general big picture sense, at least the way I'm interpreting this question. So it would be those two things that would keep me from saying he's the best coach in any sport ever. One, you know, he didn't thrive at the professional level in his sport. And two, he has the advantage in the sense of, you know, they're turning over their players every year and they always have star players. With that said, he's on the short list of all-time great coaches, period. But it just makes it a little bit more difficult for me if you're not doing it at the professional level. What's up next?
Another one.
The Eagles fired Doug Peterson on Monday. He compiled a record of 46-39-1 over five seasons with the team, including four playoff wins, of course, delivering Philly its first Super Bowl championship after beating the Patriots. Do you think the Eagles made the right decision in firing Peterson?
Not really, necessarily. I don't know what happened with the whole Jalen Hurts, Nate Sudfeld thing. I really don't. To me, the Eagles' problems were not Doug Peterson-centric. The Carson Wentz issue seems to be at the heart of this as well. You know, it's much harder to move on from Carson Wentz than it is Peterson. And if Peterson and Wentz, their relationship was done, you can't really go back to Wentz with Peterson there. I think the combination of that and that last game of the season signaled the end. But when a guy is just a few years removed from a Super Bowl, and I believe that's the only time he did not make the playoffs with the Philadelphia Eagles is this year, it seemed a little harsh to me from the outside looking in. They in his first year they went 7-9 in 2016 as well, but he had a winning record every year after that. He had a winning record, so that's the to be factually correct. He had a winning record in 13-3, winning the Super Bowl that next year. Then 9-7. That was the year Foles took over. And they did make the playoffs in every other season he has coached, other than his first season and this season. So when you're 42-37 overall in 5 years and you win a Super Bowl, I generally think you get a little bit more leeway. But when you're the Eagles and you're mired in controversy and you have that quarterback question to answer, the easiest scapegoat is always the coach. What's next?
Another one.
On Wednesday, Bears chairman George McCaskey said Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are more than qualified to navigate the organization out of their current rut.
I think it's the way they collaborate. Matt's been involved in player personnel decisions since he's arrived here. Of course, Ryan has final say on the selection and roster decisions, but it's how well they work together. Like I said, they have vigorous discussions. And we think that their collaboration will result in the right decisions for the Bears.
So do you believe Pace and Nagy deserve another chance to figure this QB situation out in Chicago?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. The QB situation is the issue for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, Nagy, here's the problem for him. He's supposed to be an offensive coach. He's supposed to be an offensive coach, and he has not had a good offense. Now, part of that's the quarterback. Now, and Pace is the guy who drafted Mitch Trubisky, and that hasn't worked out. So if I'm a Chicago fan, I could see why my patience is wearing thin. And next year has to be the absolute end of the rope for probably both of those guys. But I could understand why a Chicago fan would be asking those questions. Hey, how come this so-called offensive coach can't have an offense? And how come the GM who drafted the quarterback we don't believe in, you know, is still around? But I do think quarterback is the bigger question to be answered than coach and GM in Chicago. What's next?
Another one.
All right, finally, let's talk about it. WandaVision dropped yesterday on Disney Plus. I'm pumped about it. I love the first two episodes. What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I watched them last night. Look, I'm going to first be like up front. Like, it's not like the Scarlet Witch or Vision were ever my favorite characters, right? And even in the movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it's been so long since we've had any of this Marvel content. There was that extra bit of excitement. And then the approach they took with the show I could tell was going to be intriguing. There were a few minutes I was watching. I was like, am I going to want to watch this? Do I need to watch this? And then it really just sort of sucked me in. I didn't know exactly what was happening, which I like. You know, like there's an air of mystery in trying to unpack exactly why they're in this 1950s sitcom set and what's going on there. And it's both campy and dark simultaneously.
Yeah, it's weird. It's dark. It's just like a little bit spooky, scary. And as we saw in the trailer, they're going to do like different decades here. So they're starting out in the 1950s, which I personally like, paying homage to, you know, like I Love Lucy and the Dick Van Dyke Show, because I love all those shows, and particularly Bewitched, especially with the magic. And then the second episode, the opening credits, is just, you know, exactly like the opening to Bewitched. So I love that, paying the homage to the 50s and the 60s sitcoms. But it's weird. It's different. It's weird and different on a good level.
Yeah, and I think both of those characters are more interesting in that show than they are in the movies. And I think the other part of it is it does have you wanting to know what's going to happen next, not only in the context of the show, but what it means for the grander Marvel Cinematic
Universe. I think clearly she's had a mental breakdown, Scarlet Witch, and she's just created this alternate life for herself in her mind. And I think, you know, you have the sword, which is, it's the, like, space version of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're trying to, like, contact her, try to break her out of this. I think that's at the end of the first episode, we saw this person, like, watching them on the TV screen. So, and we saw the sword, the emblem on one of the screens. You saw the sword symbol on the helicopter that she comes across in the second episode. And then the beekeeper that comes out of the sewer, we saw him on the back of his jacket. We see the sword emblem there, the logo there again.
You know, there are people who haven't seen the show yet, Anthony, right?
Well,
I thought I was speaking in more vague terms. And then Thanos shows up. No, he doesn't. Don't worry about
this
that.
This is all speculation on my part.
Iron Man's not dead. they did.
We don't know
that,
any of this to be true. This is just my opinion.
Captain America, there was reports that he's coming back to the MCU.
And then he sent news to me.
As well. I'm sure they deny it because they want it to be an actual surprise. I'll be back with you next Saturday morning as usual. Ken Carmen up next on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.